Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robbie, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. Today, we're going to talk about the candidate for Fight of the Year. We have another one just weeks after our first one. We're going to talk about Adrian Broner coming home to Cincinnati. The King is coming home. Roy Jones Jr. knocked out this weekend. Our history lesson goes deep. Robbie, deep. September 10th, 1993.
Good fight here.
Julio Cesar Chavez versus Pernell Whitaker. And our fantasy fight, as we talked about last week, Pernell Whitaker versus Floyd Mayweather Jr. But first, we get started with the potential another Fight of the Year candidate right here, Leo Santa Cruz versus Abner Morris. And we've been looking forward to this fight for a while, and wow, it didn't disappoint. These two had a furious pace from the first round to the last round. Neither fighter stopped punching. Each fighter took turns moving backward. However, to me, it was Santa Cruz who controlled the fight. He threw and landed more punches and was very successful at keeping the range against Morris and getting him back up. The one thing I noticed in this fight is that nobody really seemed to be badly hurt during the fight, but you could tell both fighters were definitely putting in shots. Morris' face started swelling badly and marked up in about the 10th round. He got a left hook in late that got Santa Cruz's attention. Nothing real major, though. There wasn't really, I mean, there was good shots, but nothing really, you know, knockout worthy or knockdown worthy, I guess. Santa Cruz, to me, had a strong 11th round. He landed several combinations, and even though Morris was still charging it hard at him, man, it seemed that he was really in control of this fight. In the 12th round, both of them went all out, constantly punching from bell to bell. It was just an unbelievable fight. The crowd rose to its feet in the final minutes. Here's the deal. According to CompuBox punch stats, they threw a combined 2,037 punches and landed over 600. Santa Cruz is known for his giant punch output. He landed 373 of 1,057 punches, including 71 jabs. Morris connected with 227 of 980 shots. He only landed 7 jabs in the fight, so he was just winging shots. This all came down to the judges. Of course, it went the distance. Steve Morrow and Jesse Reyes scored the fight 117-111 for Santa Cruz, and Judge Max DeLuca scored it 114-114. Ringside Reporter, we had it for Santa Cruz 117-111.
I also had it 117-111 for Santa Cruz. Abner Morris came out with the wrong game plan, and he resorted to the Kell Brook tactics. He did a lot of holding, and I don't like that in a fighter. You know, you weren't seriously hurt enough to have to grab on. You know, if this was going to be Fight of the Year, I wouldn't have it 9-3. I mean, to me, a Fight of the Year candidate is a draw, 7-5, something like that. Mm-hmm. But when it's 8-4, 9-3, you know, on scorecards, I can't consider it Fight of the Year.
Okay.
Leo Santa Cruz proved something to me. I picked Abner Morris, and in this case, I'm glad I was wrong, because I can't pick a fighter when he steps up for the first time until he actually gets in the ring and proves it. Well, he proved that he belongs on his level. But his next opponent is going to be more difficult than what he dealt with. I'll mention that in the news and rumors. Who he's rumored to fight next is going to be a lot more difficult than Abner Morris is. So Leo's going to have to step up his game even more if he's going to continue to be undefeated.
I tell you, I was really impressed with Santa Cruz in this fight. I really was, man. I picked him to win, and I thought it was going to be a close fight, and it was a good, good fight because both guys didn't stop punching.
No, but they didn't.
As far as the ring control and everything like that went, I mean, I thought Santa Cruz really got him. Now, of course, after the fight, Morris thinks he won the fight. He says he won the fight.
Yeah,
of course he does.
Yeah.
But, you know, realistically, no, he didn't win that fight. Like I said, man, Santa Cruz took control of that fight from the early rounds to the late rounds. He was just busier. He was sharper. He was busier. He was just a better – he was controlling the ring, controlling the distance. He was controlling everything in the fight. A very good fight, very good fight. Do I want to see it again? I don't know what
no.
Amir Morris could do differently.
I want this talk of a rematch to go away because, like I said, unless it's 7-5, 6-6 on multiple scorecards, I don't want to see no rematch.
Yeah.
To quote Paul Creed, there ain't going to be no rematch.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, like I said, I don't know what Morris could have done differently. I mean, he was soundly defeated here.
And not only that, but according to those that I know that speak Spanish, several people that speak Spanish told me that in Abner Morris's corner, you had two different people trying to give him two different sets of instructions. So some of the Spanish-speaking people that I talked to said that he seemed confused because he didn't know which instructions to follow.
Well, and that just means they were confused. I mean, that just means they came in with a bad game plan.
Yeah.
I really believe that because, you know, if somebody's telling you to do this and the other, you got two people giving you two different sets of directions, that's not good, man. I mean, that's like I said. I mean, that's confusion in the corner, and that means that boils down to a bad game plan.
Yeah.
And that means they couldn't make adjustments on the fly either.
No,
you know?
And see, that's what impressed me about Leo. Leo, the first part of the fight for the first three rounds, Abner Morris came out and wanted to be the top dog. After that, Leo and his corner and his dad made the necessary adjustments and basically, after the sixth round, kind of took the fight over and said, "This is mine. You're not taking it away from me." And Abner Morris could never do anything to change the tempo of the fight. Abner Morris here, I think he's still, and people disagreed with me when I said this in the boxing voice on Sunday, but I think he's still intimidated by having that first round KO that he suffered by the hands of Johnny Gonzalez. I think for Abner Morris to get back to top level competition, he's going to have to psychologically wipe that out from his mind. And the only way he's going to do that is to get Johnny Gonzalez back in the ring. Until he accomplishes that, I don't see him doing much here at the 126 division because I think he's intimidated by that. The reason why I think he fought the way he did against Santa Cruz is because Leo does not have the power at 126 that he had at 118 or 122. Leo's not going to win fights at 126 by knocking anybody out.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Morris is done. Morris is never going to be another, you know, I'm not going to say a champion, but a formidable champion, put it that way. He's never going to go on a run, a big streak of title wins or
he's done. As long as he stays at 126, he's not going to win another title.
You know, like I said, I mean, and he's not, you know, and you say, well, can he erase that? That doesn't erase.
No,
once you get KO'd like that, you don't come back from that. First round shot like that, man.
No, but he needs to get Gonzalez back in the ring, so, we need to see that rematch anyway, because I think Johnny Gonzalez is done, and here Johnny Gonzalez keeps beating people except for Gary Russell,
right,
you know?
Right.
And Gary Russell's just on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about him later in this podcast.
Yeah, Gary Russell's definitely a whole nother level, man.
Yeah.
And I tell you, so let me ask you this now. Leo Santa Cruz took a lot of heat leading into this fight. He took a lot of heat for not fighting anybody. He took a lot of heat for, you know, just being a paper champion and stuff. Does he shut those people up finally?
Yeah, he did. He fought Cupcakes, and he moved up to a full course meal and devoured it like he was supposed to prove that he belonged on this level. And, well, I'll go ahead and say it here. The rumor has it Leo's going to be fighting Gary Russell next.
Oh,
so,
good Lord.
So,
that's
because,
a bad fight for Leo, boy.
Absolutely. But Leo's going to have to step his game up. I think Gary blocks all over him.
Yeah, Gary, you know, Gary's on another level, man. Gary,
well,
Russ,
according to the boss, Mr. Al Heyman, he put out there the winner of this fight was going to be fed up to Gary Russell. So, good luck, Leo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good fight, but that's a dangerous fight for Santa Cruz, man, because Gary Russell, yeah, he's the guy, man.
Zero is going away, Leo.
that's gonna be a tough fight, man. I wouldn't count Santa Cruz out, but I definitely wouldn't sleep on Gary Russell either. So.
No way. Well, I'll put it this way. Leo Santa Cruz is no Vasily Lomachenko, okay?
No way. No way.
So, and that's the only kind of fighter that's ever going to beat Gary Russell. And who knows, if they ever rematched, Gary Russell may have learned some things. So,
I said, man, Gary Russell, we talked to his dad the one time. He told us he told us the reason. He said that he was drained. He bought that. They got that strength and conditioning guy. They were drained before the fight.
Right.
You know, and you know what? Hey, look, I believe him. You know, what's he going to lie about it for? I mean, because Gary Russell did not look the same in that fight as he did in other fights. Now, you could argue, well, hey, Lomachenko made him look like that. But, you know, hey, I mean, I don't know. He just didn't look as fast. He didn't look as fluid. He didn't look like himself.
Well, maybe Gary can take care of Leo, and Lomachenko and Rigondeaux can get it on, and then he gets the winner of that fight.
Yeah, I'm game to watch that, that's for sure.
Okay.
All right. So on the undercard here, man, WBC rated number 3 contender Julio Cesar Ceja got up off the canvas and scored a spectacular come from behind 5th round victory over Hugo Ruiz. Ruiz floored Ceja in the 3rd round with a left hook counter. That was just a beautiful left hook, and started to take control of the bout, but then may have gotten too comfortable. They traded hooks. He started trading hooks with him. The result is Ruiz got dropped. And,
you don't hook with a hooker, come on.
No. And he got up on shaky legs. Ceja took full advantage of it, never letting him up. The referee stopped about at 234 of the 5th round. Ceja wins the interim WBC Super Bantamweight Championship. And the regular champion, if Leo Santa Cruz stays at featherweight, then I guess he fights him. He had the option to fight him. Ceja would be promoted to the interim regular champion otherwise.
That's right.
So,
well, according to what Al has told people, because, you know, Al doesn't speak to the media,
right.
Leo's going to be fighting Gary. So.
Oh, man, I can't wait. And, of course, that'll probably take place in California. I can't see it. You know,
I don't know where it'll take place, because Leo's from California and Gary's from like Maryland or something. So
I could do Maryland. The fight's not gonna take place in Maryland, but I could do Maryland.
Well, they've got arenas in D.C.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Have they had PBC in D.C. yet?
That's correct. Lamont Peterson, you know, D.C.
That's right. Yeah, they could go right to D.C. for that one.
There you go.
And
Gary is the 126 champion, so he could kind of dictate where he wants that fight. So if he wants it at home, you got a shot, friend.
Man, and that would be one I would pick up for, man. That would be a good one. That would be a very good one.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about the comedy show this weekend, which was Sugar Shane Mosley, your boy, versus Ricardo Mayorga. As I said on last week's show, the pre-fight was going to be a lot more interesting than the fight, and that was absolutely true. At the press conference, prior to the weigh-in, Mayorga and Mosley were jawing at each other, as usual, when all of a sudden Mosley's girlfriend dropped her glasses. She bent over to pick them up, and then Mayorga, of course, pulled a Mayorga and slapped her on the backside. This sent Shane off, and the two had to be pulled apart. Later, Mayorga would go on to say...
That was later proven to be a publicity stunt. She did that on purpose.
Yeah, later Mayorga would go on to say the whole thing was staged. You know, so who knows, man. So at the weigh-in, Mayorga missed the weight limit by about 6 or 8 pounds. He came in about 7 pounds, or seven or eight pounds heavy. He had to forfeit $50,000 of his purse, and then he got water poured on him by Mosley's girlfriend. So, you know, not a very good night for Ricardo Mayorga. The fight itself looked like the fight you would expect with 240-somethings in the ring. Mayorga entered the ring. Man, he looked completely out of shape. I mean, badly out of shape. You could see, he was just fat, you know.
By the way, I was wrong. I thought Oscar was promoting this.
No, Shane. It was like
Shane promoted this himself.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Oscar, you know.
Yeah.
Mosley actually looked like he was in decent shape, man. He looked like he was in really good shape. He stays in good shape, man. You got to give it to him. But considerably, you know, when he was in the ring, he's considerably slower and didn't move like the Mosley of old, for sure. In round three, Mayorga started clowning around, dropping his hands and daring Mosley to hit him, which he did. You know, great, you know. The end came in round six with a left hook to the liver. It looked like to me it was like to the liver. I mean, it dropped him, but, you know, it looked like he could have got up. He couldn't beat the count. Now, once he got hit on the side of the body, all right, Mayorga went down and immediately started holding his crotch as if he were hit low.
Oh, my God.
The referee didn't buy it, of course, and continued to count. And like I said, it looked like he could have gotten up. I don't see any reason. I mean, again, I didn't get hit with the shot. I didn't go six rounds with Mosley. I don't know. But it looked to me like he could have got up. That's just, you know.
Well, according to Ken Porter, who was in the corner of Shane Mosley, working with Shane Mosley's dad.
I saw that, yeah.
He said that Mosley still has the power on his punches. He knocked a couple of Mayorga's teeth out during the fight. And he says as far as Mosley's punching power, it's still there. But
that middleweight,
you know,
though?
I don't know. Like I said, we're going to talk about later who he's calling out.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't think either one of these guys should continue, but that's my philosophy about anybody that approaches 40 or beyond. And, you know, George Foreman and Bernard Hopkins have made it bad for a lot of these people because they think they can be them and they're not.
Yeah, right. Mosley said after the fight that the PPV hit it out of the park. The pay-per-view hit it out of the park and did very well.
Yeah, I believe that when I see the numbers.
Right. He had to sell 30,000 pay-per-views just to break even. Most people are saying that they would be surprised if he hit 50,000. I don't know how true the statement is for Mosley as far as the pay-per-view hitting it out of the park, because tickets were actually being sold on Groupon. All right, there was a Groupon out there for $19 seats at the arena. When you got a Groupon out there for your fight, it ain't doing so hot, man.
Staples Center had 13,109. How many did the Forum have? Did you ever get those numbers?
I did not. No, I was looking for them today, and I couldn't find them.
Okay. Because I can guarantee you it was no Triple G crowd.
No, no. And like I said, if you got tickets being discounted on Groupon, I don't know. That doesn't bode well for you, son.
Both of you need to retire and go to the boxing nursing home.
Yeah, yeah, really. And I mean, I don't know how much power he really has left, to be honest with you. I mean, he, you know, is his trainer, so he's going to say what he's going to say. But, you know, the thing is, I mean, Ricardo's there to be hit. He's always there to get hit. You know, he's like a giant punching bag. You know, he's going to be there to get hit. And Mayorga looked horrible, too. I mean, you expected him to come out with some kind of fire, at least in the first round or second round. I mean, first two rounds at least before he, you know, runs out of gas. But he didn't even do that. I mean, and the funny thing was in the sixth round, he was actually, I thought he was actually winning the round before Mosley landed that shot. You know, I think the fifth and sixth were probably his best rounds where he started landing something. I don't think he really won the fifth, but, you know, I don't know.
For those of you that paid, congratulations. You're more addicted than we are.
Yeah, right.
You know, That's all I can say.
You know, and the other thing, the undercard was terrible too, man. They had two women fight on there. I think there was three fights on there.
Yeah, there was a woman fight, Joelle Diaz, and then Mosley Mayorga.
Yeah, and then the women fight, that girl was 35. The one who fought was like 35 years old.
Okay.
And it was for a bantamweight title. I don't know. I was fringe watching it on Box Nation. I was like, this is ridiculous, man.
Okay.
I said, I can't believe they actually paid $50 to watch this card.
Now, what about Joelle Diaz? I missed that fight.
He won the fight, but I think he won a knockout.
I've been told he looked good. Yeah, I've been told he looked good, but, you know.
Yeah, but who was he fighting, you know? Yeah, and then the funny part, this is the best part, is that, you know, like I said, man, I would imagine there was quite a few people streaming the fight, and Box Nation over in England had the fight on, okay? So I go to Yahoo, it was the next day on Yahoo, and they showed Mayorga clowning around, it was like on Yahoo, and, you know, you hit the link or whatever. And you know how it's like a Yahoo News story. You hit the link and it goes to Yahoo News or whatever.
Right.
And it showed Mayorga dancing and everything like that, doing his little thing, his little jig in the third round. Up at the top corner said Box Nation. So they didn't even pay for it. They were streaming it too. Whoever did the clip was actually streaming it too. So they didn't even watch it on pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. Well, as a matter of fact, Nestor Gibbs, who runs the Boxing Voice, somebody from Mosley's promotion company contacted him and wanted him to stream it on the Boxing Voice website. And Ness said, no, I'm not going to be stuck running that thing. I'm going to watch a real fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were desperate for people to put this out all over the place. So I really wonder how well the pay-per-view actually did.
I'll be real interested. Yeah, I'll be real interested to see. So let's move forward. Roy Jones gets knocked out this weekend by Tropical Storm Erica. Saturday night's fight between Roy Jones Jr. and Danny Santiago in Phillipsburg, St. Martin has been canceled. Tropical Storm Erica has done a lot of damage to the Caribbean, so the fight was called off. Jones is now training in his newly adopted country of Russia for his next fight against 42-year-old Tony Moran.
Okay, congratulations to you, Roy.
Right.
Does that mean you're going to give up your name as Roy Jones and come out with some Russian name now?
Vladimir Jones. Jones Jr.
Yeah. And I hope you learn how to speak the language. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. I hope you like borscht.
Yeah, really.
Russia's
like vodka. I know you can handle that, and you know. But,
that's right.
Come on, yeah. All right, let's go.
All right, let's talk about Showbox results here. It was a decent card. It was decent. Up-and-coming heavyweight Trevor Bryan scored a hard-fought 10-round unanimous victory over veteran Derek Rossi. It was a decent fight, man. I thought that, you know, I thought if Bryan would have stepped it up, he could have got him out of there. They were making a big deal about Bryan. To be honest, man, I don't see him really going anywhere. I don't.
He's got a lot more work to do. And
even if he puts in the work, I don't see him going anywhere. He doesn't have the power. I mean,
I'm not disagreeing with you here, but he is only 25, 26 years old. And most heavyweights that are fighting today are a lot older. So I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and give him some time. Yeah, even though I do think when he finally steps it up against somebody, all his flaws are gonna still be there, and it's gonna be an easy payday for somebody, you know.
I think so too. Yeah, I don't see him, like I said, man. I don't see him as getting a title shot like ever. I don't even see him being a real threat to anybody, to be honest with you. I mean, he might be a good stepping stone fight.
Yep.
And I know they're still building him up, and maybe I'm being too difficult, you know, too hard on the guy. But, you know, I just didn't, you know, when I watch him, usually with heavyweights you can tell. You know, you want to see power, you want to see speed, you want to see movement, you want to see some kind of intangible there. And there was nothing that he brought to the table that really impressed you, you know. There was nothing that I looked at and said, man, that guy's got something. If he could work on this or he can – nothing. Yeah, there was nothing that I looked at and said, yeah, man, that guy's the next guy. He just looked like a another fighter out there.
I could see him be a good opponent for somebody like Chris Areola, you know.
Yeah.
Because Areola doesn't take the sport seriously. He could have a field day with a guy like Areola, you know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who I would take in that fight. I think it would be interesting, you know.
Yeah.
I think Areola's definitely on his way out.
And, of course, we already said before airtime, Dominic Brazil, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that, too. I could see him fighting Dominic Brazil because, you know, I don't think Brazil's going anywhere either. So, you know, scores on that fight were 97-92, 98-91 on both cards.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I would like to see him, you know, fight Dominic Brazil, but I wouldn't want to rush him. I mean, he's not, you know, I don't know.
No. As I said on the Boxing Voice on Sunday, I threw out the him fighting Joey DeBeco, who fought in the first fight with a first round KO, and I think they're on the same level. So since it's a showbox series and they put on these kind of fights, I think that should be the next for both of them.
Right.
He's fighting each other.
Right. And let's talk about the Joey DeBeco fight, man. He needed just 75 seconds to destroy Natu Vicinia.
Yeah, he's the one that got KO'd by Cunningham last year.
Yeah, DeBeco dropped him twice before the carnage was halted, you know. Yeah, you know, DeBeco's another one that didn't really, he's 15-4. He's another one that's entertaining, but he's not going anywhere.
Right. Yep.
You know, I didn't see, like I said, man, again, with DeBeco. Yeah, I think Trevor Bryan, I think that is a good fight because I think with Trevor Bryan, you know, is a boxer. DeBeco's going to hit him. He's going to come at him. He's going to, you know, try to rough him up. So I think
right.
That would be a good fight.
That's why I suggested that on the Boxing Voice on Sunday because, you know, I think they're on the same level. It would be entertaining for as long as it lasts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we have a middle fight there to talk about.
Yeah, DeCarlo Perez scored a 10-round unanimous decision over previously unbeaten 2-time Dominican Republic Olympian Juan Cabrera. Perez outworked Cabrera after the third round and went on to post a 97-92, 98-91, and 98-91 decision. Cabrera was cut over the right eye by a headbutt in round one and was deducted a point in round seven for holding.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most exciting fight. There is,
nope.
But, you know.
And Showtime has to step up their level because, I mean, I'm not going to criticize the Showbox because I understand what kind of boxing it is.
Right.
But they spent all night promoting the Mayweather thing when, if that's the next thing you got coming up on your schedule, you got some work to do with the network.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, these guys, and, you know, I always think about Showbox and think about the stat you give me that they've had 100-some-odd champions or actually,
No, 63 former champions have started their career on Showbox.
Right, and I'm looking at this card, I'm thinking there's no way any of these guys are going to reach that. And
no.
Unless they're counting, like, NABF titles or something like that, there's no way these guys
I don't know. We'd have to talk to Steve Farhood on that one because he seems to keep all the stats. But
right.
I don't think they're counting those minor titles. I think they're counting the four major sanctioning bodies.
Right.
That would be my guess.
So, and that was pretty much it for the weekend. That was pretty much it. And so let's talk about the upcoming fights.
Okay.
Saturday, September 5 at Dresden, Germany, Jürgen Brammer versus Connie Conrad. 12 rounds for Brammer's WBA regular light heavyweight title.
Get your streaming apps out and get to work.
That's right, because you're not going to see it in the U.S.,
That's right.
Brammer should win this fight. I've never seen Conrad fight, but, you know, who knows. And then, let's see here, in Hollywood, Florida, your boy, Shannon Briggs versus Mike Marrone.
Well,
12 rounds, heavyweights.
I'm tired of these senior citizen fights. this is somebody for Shannon to beat because he's still... He wants to be a victim of Vladimir Klitschko, and God, I hope Klitschko never stoops to that level.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, that's the thing. I think that, you know, he's trying to keep busy because he's trying to keep relevant or whatever. I don't, you know, like I said, I don't see anybody giving him a title shot. And I know he's calling out Wilder. He's calling out Klitschko. He's trying to do crazy things. You know, if I was Wilder, though, why not knock out Shannon Briggs?
Well, if you,
instead of fighting, Shannon Briggs is at least a name where the guy
true.
He's fighting is not a name. Nobody's ever heard of this guy.
That's
you know?
True. But, I mean, hell, I don't want to see these guys like Briggs and Tarver and all these idiots get national TV time, but hell, why not, I suppose?
Yeah, to get one big payday before they head out to the sunset, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Why? Okay. Get it over with, I guess.
Sunday, September 6th. At Corpus Christi, Texas, Anthony Durrell versus Marco Antonio Rubio, 10 rounds, super middleweights. What do you think of this fight?
And for those of you that don't remember, Marco Antonio Rubio got put to sleep in 2 rounds by the big drama show. So
yeah.
that's all you need to know about Mr. Rubio. And Rubio's now moving up to see if he can get punished some more. I think Durrell should win this one pretty easily, to be honest with you. I don't see a knockout happening unless Rubio is completely out of shape. But I think Durrell wins this, and this will be on CBS Sunday afternoon, people. So be prepared for Sunday afternoon boxing, the last Sunday before NFL football starts.
Right. Yeah, I think that Durrell wins this one pretty easy. I think this is a good fight for him. I think it's a good comeback fight for him. But, yeah, I think Durrell wins this, and he wins it pretty handily.
Right.
And now also, too, the undercard of that one, this is going to be a good one. I'm actually excited for this one. Jamie McDonald versus Tomoki Kameda. This is a rematch, 12 rounds for McDonald's WBA regular bantamweight title. This is going to be a good fight.
And they fought in May on CBS also. So props to Al Haymon and CBS for putting these two back on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good fight, good action fight. I mean, yeah, absolutely, man.
And the second time in Texas for both.
So, yeah, well, you remember the judging and officiating in Texas, though.
Absolutely. So prepare for that. You never know.
That's right. That's right. And that does it for the upcoming fights this week, man.
And remember, on September 8th starts Toe-to-Toe Tuesdays on Fox Sports 1. So
right.
It'll be every Tuesday until further notice, from what I understand. So stay tuned.
Pretty cool stuff, yeah. And Austin Trout's going to fight.
Yep.
On the first one. Yeah, absolutely.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right, so let's move along to our history lesson. Robbie, we're going deep. September 10th, 1993. Julio Cesar Chavez versus Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker.
Yeah. If you like Pernell Whitaker, this is the podcast for you this week.
That's right. That's right. So this was a good one, man. I remember this one. This was a... this was one of those fights that when you heard it was announced, man, you just were like, I can't wait. I cannot wait. This was almost like the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, you know, where you just couldn't wait for it. You know, as a boxing fan, you're waiting. Because these are the two top pound-for-pound fighters in the world, you know.
Yeah, but did they avoid each other for 5 years or 6 years or whatever it was?
No, they did not. I don't know.
I don't know.
I know they wanted him to fight for quite a while before they did, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows? But no, it was a hell of a fight.
Absolutely. Took place in San Antonio, Texas, man. San Antonio. So
probably at the Alamo Dome, and they probably had a large, you know.
It was
like
huge.
50, 60,000 people or more.
Yeah, and it was at the Alamo Dome. And, Chavez came out very pro-Chavez crowd. He came out in the first two rounds, came out pressing against Whitaker. Whitaker backpedaled and kind of popped out his jab a little bit, but Chavez, man, just came in and just swept those first two rounds. I mean, just kind of steamrolled him, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And you figure, man, if Whitaker doesn't get it together, this is going to be the fight. This is going to be it started out like a rematch of the Chavez Camacho fight.
Right.
And that's the kind of game plan he should have had. And that's the kind of game plan he needed to fight Whitaker, is the same one he fought Camacho with.
Right.
You know, because they were kind of similar styles. And, you know, they move, they, you know, really elusive, and they try to move, play defense a lot. So he came
but
out with the absolute right game
Whitaker,
plan.
I always thought Whitaker, though, was a better boxer than Camacho.
Oh, so. Much better. Much better. And not to mention, he's able to make adjustments.
Right.
That was the big deal.
Uh-huh.
Because in the third and fourth round, Whitaker came out with a sharper jab. He settled in with his jab. He settled in with the hooks. And then really got his defense going. He kind of had him figured out. By the fourth round, Whitaker was pretty much in control of the fight. Chavez, you could tell, was very frustrated. In the fifth round, Chavez's corner was really on him to, hey, let's go. Let's pick up the attack. Let's get it going here. You know, and he came back and scored one of the best rounds of the fight. He had landed two sharp right hands to the head. He had a left hook in the body. Whitaker, to me, he looked a little bit flustered after that fifth round. But he comes back again. He clearly won the sixth round through the eighth round. And the crowd, he really took the crowd out of this fight. And that was something else, man. Because the entire crowd up through the, all through the prelims would yell Chavez, Chavez, Chavez. It was all through the prelims, up through the fight, and through the first two rounds. And by the seventh round, that crowd was dead silent. They could not believe what they were watching here.
Mm-hmm.
Whitaker, and Chavez, you could see during the fight, got really frustrated. He would actually land to Sweet Pea's hips. He actually threw a punch to the thigh at one point, and Cortez stopped the action. But for the most part, man, you really got to admire the way Whitaker fought this fight. He was, Chavez would come back. He would rally, and Whitaker was able to, the next round, come back, adjust his defense, and still, turn it on him with hooks. And what Whitaker did that was really impressive that not a lot of people ever really did was went to Chavez's body in this fight. And
that's
he went
right.
to his body more so than anybody else. He was very good body puncher.
Mm-hmm.
Chavez came out fast in the 10th, but Whitaker ended up winning that round. He ended up winning the 11th round. Now, as far as the 12th round goes, I think that was kind of up for grabs, to be honest with you. But as soon as the final bell rang, man, Whitaker knew he'd won the fight. Most of the people knew he'd won the fight, as evidenced by the silent crowd.
Yeah.
The only people that didn't know he won the fight were apparently the judges.
Oh, that's right. I remember this now.
Jack Woodruff scored the fight 115-113 for Pernell Whitaker. Mickey Van and Franz Marti scored the fight 115-115 a draw.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The Associated Press scored the fight 116-112 for Whitaker. Newsday, 116-112 for Whitaker. Ring Magazine, 117-111 Whitaker. Sports Illustrated, 117-111 for Whitaker. Washington Post, 115-113 for Whitaker. I had it 116-112 for Whitaker. After scoring that fight, you watched it, man, and I was a big Chavez fan, so I was very disappointed, But
yeah.
After watching that fight, man, it was just like, man, I mean, you couldn't deny he won the fight, and
I don't remember. Did they ever rematch?
No, they never rematched.
Okay. Yeah. No, it was a hell of a fight.
A really good fight, though. I thought, like I said, man, everybody thought that Whitaker won it. But, when you got scores like 115-113, it could go either way. Most people thought this was the one where Sports Illustrated put on the very front cover a picture of Whitaker and put robbed right over the top of it.
Yeah.
So, man, it was that was a tough one to swallow. And not to mention there was a lot of boos in the Alamo Dome that night.
Yeah.
So even the Mexican fans were like, "Hey, our guy."
Well,
lost,
hey, yeah, we all saw what people in San Antonio are like. Look at what happened to Adrian Broner when he lost to Marcos Maidana. They showered him with all kinds of stuff on the way out of the ring.
Yeah, right. So, what a fight, man! But an event, a great event, a great fight, and that Alamo Dome was packed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just completely packed.
I could see one day that Canelo uses that Alamo Dome for one of his big fights, like when he finally steps in the ring with Mr. Triple G. I could see the Alamo Dome filled with about 70,000 people for those two.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a Mexican town, you know. Of course they're going to come out and support their guy, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mickey Van and Franz Martin were pretty much vilified after the fight.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to really work with them or want them as judges or anything like that. And they never really – Don King, you know, was the promoter. And the WBC was the title, you know, was the title at stake.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people blamed Don King. A lot of people blamed the WBC for the decision. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, man, it's hard when you're at ringside. You know, it's hard when you're at ringside.
Although sometimes I wonder if these judges are blinder than I am, you know?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be. Like I said, man, it's hard. I know it's hard when you're sitting there watching the fight to judge it because you're seeing one angle. People on TV, you're seeing multiple angles, replays, everything like that.
Yep, I know.
Access to punch stat, access to this, access to that. They got the announcers in their ear. Yeah, tough.
Yep.
A tough win.
Okay.
But you know, the thing is that after the fight, you know, Everybody really looked at Whitaker as the winner of that fight, you know. So
I wonder if Julio even thought he lost.
I don't think Julio would ever admit it.
Yeah.
I don't think he would ever admit it, you know.
Nope.
And the way they spun it after the fight, Don King said that Julio was pressing the fight. And if there wasn't, you know, if he wasn't fighting, there wouldn't have been no fight. And, you know, to a large extent, he was right because, you know, Whitaker, of course, that's his style. He backs up and he counters and does this and does that. And,
well, Pernell Whitaker made his career on fighting a lot like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
And that's why our fantasy fight later is going to be very interesting because I believe this is the kind of fighter that would give Floyd Mayweather absolute fits because he would actually have somebody that does his style of fighting almost as good as he does, if not better.
Right. Let's move on to that. Let's move on to our fantasy fight this week.
Okay.
And that is, like, of course, Pernell Whitaker versus Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those fights when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I was really excited. And then I got really not excited because I'm like, I bet this would be an absolutely boring fight.
Well, if they actually fought, it would probably be extremely boring. But also for us boxing purists, it's hardcore. This is not a casual fans fight.
No,
this is strictly for the boxing aficionado. This is
right. This
is like the A+ fight for those of us that really care about the sport.
Right.
For you casual people, this would put you
not
to sleep.
Not your fight. Not your
you know?
Type of fight. This is a chess
you know?
Match. This is going to be like watching chess on TV.
That's
this
right.
This is not going to be your type of fight, son.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it like this, man, and I broke the categories down for speed. I kind of got this a push. I don't think that either guy, both of them are fast.
No, I think it would be about equal.
I think it's equal, man.
Yeah.
Power, I think it's equal. A lot of people looked at Whitaker and said, you know, I think I'm stronger than him. Or you looked at him and he looked like the smaller guy. I don't remember, except later in his career, but I don't remember a time when he was at welterweight where he really got muscled. You know, even in there with bigger guys, I mean, maybe Trinidad, maybe, but, you know, when he was in there with bigger people, you know, he still didn't appear to get muscled.
Hell, even Felix Trinidad couldn't do anything. Corte couldn't do anything with him. I can't remember. Did he fight De La Hoya?
He fought De La Hoya,
yeah.
In fact, that's the common opponent of these two.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about that in just a second. But
yeah, I don't even know if De La Hoya could really do a whole lot with him physically. You know.
Yeah. For strength, So I think strength is probably even.
Right.
The chin. I mean, Whitaker was knocked down maybe a handful of times, maybe. I mean, not even a handful of times.
You have to give that to Mayweather because as far as I know, when has Mayweather ever gone down?
Yeah, I don't think he has.
Yeah.
Maybe once, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe once, maybe.
But I don't, you know.
So,
you know.
Speed, so, strength, power, all even. Chin goes to Mayweather.
Right.
You're not going to need it in this fight. It doesn't really matter. Neither fight is knocking anybody out.
No.
You know, so for your casual guys, man, this is a boring, this is going to be a boring fight. But for, for us, this is like, you know, like I said, for them, it's going to be like watching chess on TV. But for me, it's going to be like watching chess on TV, too. I like chess, so I you know, I wouldn't mind watching it, you know what I mean? I
watch
it on YouTube,
right.
So it's good, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
The common opponent here, so let's look for some common opponents because
We know
neither
Oscar
fighter, yeah, neither fighter fought anybody with a similar style.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody had a style like Whitaker, and nobody, you know, you could maybe make the claim that maybe Zab Judah, you know,
really.
Yeah, I think that's really, really pushing it. So I don't think anybody had that. And, of course, Whitaker didn't have anybody like Floyd. So
The only common opponent, like you said, I
believe, Hoya. Yeah,
is Oscar De La Hoya.
Only common opponent.
Yeah.
And Whitaker lost a unanimous decision. I thought he won that fight. And we've talked about that. I thought that Whitaker definitely won that fight. He knocked De La Hoya down, frustrated him. He couldn't put his hands on him. I didn't mean he won that fight, I thought.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mayweather De La Hoya won a split decision, and I thought actually De La Hoya won that fight.
Yeah.
So,
and, of course, Floyd had to move up in weight to fight De La Hoya. Wasn't that his first fight at 154?
Maybe. 47 I thought it was, but I could be wrong.
No, I thought he had to move up to 154 because Oscar couldn't make weight anymore at 147.
You might be right. You might be right. But, yeah, I mean, so there's a common opponents, one loss, 1-1. But, you know, I kind of thought it was reverse where Whitaker won and Mayweather lost. So another push there, another even here, you know. So, you know, so I put this question out there, got a lot of responses. Most of the people favored Whitaker, but it was very, very close. Very close.
Okay. Well, thank you for sending in your comments, folks. This is why we do this.
Absolutely. Now, I ran this through the computer simulation. Before I give you those results, how do you think the fight would have went down?
I freely admit it. I'm a Floyd Mayweather hater, so I'd be rooting for Sweet Pea all day. So, and I think Sweet Pea Whitaker here is better at everything that Floyd Mayweather does. Defense, boxing, taking punches. Whitaker's went down a few times, but he's always recovered and either made the fights competitive and still lost or come back to win. So, I'm in Pernell Whitaker's corner all day.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Whitaker to me had the better corner too, and they always made great adjustments. Lou Duva and George Benton always worked well together with him.
Yep.
They always made really, really good adjustments.
This is when Lou Duva was still he was a trainer before he became a promoter, so, you know.
Yeah, he was always really good at the adjustments and everything like that. But as far as the boxing, this would mean Floyd would probably have been the aggressor. Somebody would have had to come forward.
That's right.
I think, you know, I think that Whitaker would have negated that, and I think Floyd would have negated Whitaker. You know.
Yeah, and I don't think you would have seen any holding in this fight. You know.
Maybe.
I don't know. You know.
I think you would have saw. I disagree with that. I think you would have saw a lot of tactical holding.
Okay.
I think you would have saw a lot of tactical holding in this fight.
Would you have had to see a referee constantly interfere?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe, right. Because, you know, whoever gets, you know, if you can't get out of the way of punches, that's what you're going to do. You're going to hold on.
Okay.
You know, so, and
all
both
right.
of those guys are guilty of that. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. This one's too close to call for me. I know, I would have to give it a draw.
I think this fight is extremely even. I want to see whether Mayweather would have lost, but I'd have to give it a draw also. That's why when somebody brought this up, I'm like, perfect. That's our next fight.
Yeah.
Just like I've already got one for next week.
So I ran this through the simulation, and the simulation is called Title Bout Championship Boxing.
Okay.
You can actually download this from the internet. It's a quick download. Very cool. You can match about any fighter from any generation on this. So
okay.
I ran the fight through 10 times. Okay?
Okay.
Mayweather won 4 times. All
okay.
four. all four by split decision.
Okay.
All right. Pernell Whitaker won four times. One by knockout, three by split decision.
Okay.
The other two times were a draw.
Wow.
Even fight. It's an even fight. So the computer picks a draw as well.
Now, my question is, with their careers, could this fight have actually been allowed to take place? Or is this somebody that Floyd never had a chance to possibly avoid?
No, no, he wouldn't. I don't think he would have been avoiding him. If this would have took place, it would have taken place way late in Whitaker's career.
Okay.
Yeah. No. This would have never been able to take place.
Okay.
I mean, they crossed. I mean, if it would have, been a mismatch at the time.
Okay.
Because Whitaker was on his way out. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it would have, you know, because Mayweather was still coming up. You know.
Yeah, that's true. Because Mayweather didn't turn professional until '96. So, yeah. Okay.
Right, and that fight with De La Hoya was with when Whitaker was, you know, when De La Hoya was starting to get on top and try to solidify his position still.
That's correct. That and But no, that's four times Mayweather, four times Whitaker, twice with a draw. That's about as even as you can get.
You don't get any more even than that. You know what I mean?
No.
That's just crazy. That's just crazy. So go ahead and announce our fight for next week.
Hey, next week we got another good one, and we would love the feedback on this one, folks. Juan Manuel Marquez against Alexis Arguello.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy, crazy fight, man. Very good fight. Both classic boxers. Man, that's a good fight. I can't wait to see a tail of the tape on that one and seeing where, you know, where they fall and everything like that, yeah.
And now I don't think next week's one would be too boring for the casuals. I think that would have a lot of action for them to actually take part in this. So hit us up at ringsidereporter.com and hit us up on Twitter at Eric.
That's right, Twitter at Ringside73 or on Facebook at on Ringside73. So yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there you go. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So let's move on to the news and rumors. Not much to talk about this week, to be honest with you. We got a couple of fights announced and everything, but not a whole lot to talk about. But let's get started with it. From Chicago, the big fight is landing in Chicago. Andre Fonfara, the former champion, he's going to meet former world champion Nathan Cleverley in 12 rounds on PBC as PBC returns to Spike TV Chicago at the UIC Pavilion. And that is an awesome, awesome fight, man. And it starts at 9 o'clock.
And Eric will be there, right?
You know, I wanted to go. I really did. I really wanted to go. And it's a Friday. I've got soccer the next day. I can't go, man. It's killing me. It's our last game. It's our last regular season game of the season. I could ask the assistants to take over, but, you know, I'm just selfish like that. I can't do it.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So, Antonio Tarver will return to his proper place behind the microphone.
That's
no more
right.
boxing gloves. So
that's
there you
right.
Go.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Our train wreck of the week, we'll get to that. Actually, let's go to our train wreck of the week. Well, no.
Hang on. Before we do we have an undercard fight for that?
No, not yet.
No. Okay. All right. Interesting.
Floyd Mayweather and Ronda Rousey are at it again. Ronda Rousey told TMZ she makes more per second than Mayweather. In a statement issued through through a money team member, Mayweather tells TMZ Sports, "Big bank take little bank." This is quoted. "Big bank take little bank. Let's play and see how much money you got." He added. He also added. "Last time I checked, I was number one on Forbes. She will never be at my status. Keep trying to get publicity." So,
and keep this in mind. Floyd Mayweather on Twitter and Instagram has actually publicized his actual bank account statements to show people how much money he's got in the bag. So
douchebag.
Is Ronda Rousey willing to put out her personal bank statements and show everybody on Twitter and Instagram how much she's actually got?
I don't understand why. What is the point of doing that? You know what I mean? I know they're in this little tit for tat here, but as far as publishing your bank account, really? You know, who does this, you know?
Because, no, after the Pacquiao fight, Floyd actually put out an Instagram showing how much his actual check was.
Okay, come on.
What a douche.
That's such a douche move.
You know, it's like, see, this is one of the reasons why I hate a guy like Floyd. Yeah, we know boxers on his level make more money than we'll ever make.
Right.
But do you ever see any other boxer bragging about how much money they actually take home?
Right. I mean, you know, it's going to be funny. You know what's going to be funny is I want to see if he posts his bank account 5 years after he retires.
And look, guys, I've gotten a lot of feedback in multiple places where people actually think that this fight could actually happen. It's not going to happen, folks. There is no commission in the United States of America, anyway.
Nobody wants to see it.
That's going to put Floyd Mayweather and Ronda Rousey in a ring. The only way it would ever be even is if you put a cage around the ring where he can't run away and hide, because that's the only chance she's got of actually beating this man. If it was strictly boxing...
Come on, man. Mayweather's a world-class athlete. Say what you want about him. He's a world-class athlete. He's a big, strong guy. I mean, come on.
Ronda only weighs 135. What do you think Floyd's come on. Be real.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that the funny part, too, is that, like, there was articles. I'm seeing articles everywhere on this. Who would win a fight between Rousey and Mayweather? Seriously? Are we having this conversation?
I mean,
why are we having this conversation, man?
I'm really going to get worried when I start seeing legitimate boxing writers start putting out articles about this, because there ain't no way this is ever going to happen.
Yeah, no.
We need to stop this conversation. For you idiots, and I'm going to put it out there, for you idiots to continue to promote this, you're dreaming. Boxing is not the WWE. Vince McMahon might put something on like this, but come on. Do we want our sport to stoop to that level?
Yeah, you're going to see her in the WWE before you see her fight Floyd Mayweather.
That's right. And she can make a boatload of money in the WWE, because that's not combat sports. That's acting, folks.
Right.
Wrestling is – World Entertainment Wrestling is staged.
Well, she was at WrestleMania last year, and rumor has it she's going to be there again this year actually competing. So,
So
she's probably going to make a lot of money for that, too. So, yeah.
And, by the way, her fight has been moved from January to November, so.
Yeah, and who's she fighting again? She's fighting...
Holly Holm.
Holly Holm, that's right. Yeah, that's going to be good, man. It's going to be a good fight.
All
right. Guess what? He's coming home.
Yep.
Adrian the Problem Broner returns to the Queen City. The Queen City, Cincinnati, son, returns to his hometown for a fourth world title as he faces former world champion Khabib Nurmagomedov for the WBA super lightweight world title.
Now, October 3rd. Saturday. You going to be there?
I am definitely going to be there, because it's at 10 o'clock and you don't play soccer at night.
There you go.
Be there with bells on live.
Okay.
October 3rd from the world-renowned U.S. Bank Arena in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Now, set your DVR or you're going to miss Lucas Matisse and Victor Postol.
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight, too. I'm going to set my DVR for that one.
You bet.
But, yeah, so a lot of people, a lot of complaining going on at Adrian Broner gets another title shot after that goose egg that he laid against Sean Porter.
Well, frankly, Eric.
I agree with him, man. You know, I mean, you can't really, you know, I got you, man. But he's moving down. He's moving down in weight. So this is the weight he needs to stay at.
Yep.
This is it. This is where he needs to be.
And I don't know anything about the opponent he's fighting, so I would imagine that this is a setup for him to collect another belt.
Well, you know who we could ask about his opponent?
Okay.
Newly minted Russian Roy Jones Jr.
Okay.
He will be helping fellow Russian Khabib Alekverdiev train for Adrian Broner. How about that?
Well, you know, one thing I love about Roy is as soon as Roy gets in their corner, the fighters automatically start losing.
So, yeah, absolutely. So we were glad to hear that in Cincinnati. Yeah, Roy Jones is helping. He's also helping train other Russian fighters, Dmitry Chudinov, and there's a couple others he's training with or whatever, but they're training in Russia. So,
if you associate with Roy, your record starts to be bad, so keep that in mind.
So pick up the vodka, and hey, we salute you.
All right.
All right. Guillermo Rigondeaux says he will be a free agent on September 15th.
Well, if that's the case, Al, get out your checkbook.
Right. He has grown increasingly irritated with his manager, Herbie Hyde, and promoter, Caribay Promotions. He has been inactive since December 31st, and he has no signs of fights coming up. Now, Herbie Hyde contends that his contract isn't up until January. So,
Well, I see a court battle going here, but, you know.
You know, which is not good for either guy.
No.
Unless he signs with Heyman, that problem will go away. Because Heyman will, if there is a problem, they'll solve it. They'll work it out.
Yeah.
It'll get fixed.
Well, the two rumored people are Al Heyman and Rock Nation, so we'll see.
Is that right? For a window?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see Al Heyman winning that one.
And yeah, you know how Al and Jay-Z feel about each other, so let's see who writes the bigger check.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I mean, they both got they both sleep on a bed of money at night, so who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know. But to be honest with you, man, I don't know how much I'd pay for Rigondeaux. To be honest with you. He's not really a fan-friendly style.
Well, no, and a lot of networks don't want to put him on TV because they think he's boring. And, again, for the casual fan, he is boring, but for us, he's not.
But, you know, with the right management, the right promoter, he could be a star because he's so dominant, you know?
Yeah.
So you put him in there, you know, and there's a bunch of fights that fighters at Rigondeaux weight. That Heyman's got signed, so
he's a 122. So I think the best move would be for him to sign with Heyman,
right?
And of course, that would take him off the table for somebody like Lomachenko's at 126. I still want to see that fight take place.
I do too. You know, unless Rigo signs with somebody big. You know, where we can see him fight other good guys, you know, Frampton and Quigg and all those others.
Right. Well,
I don't want to see it, you know, I don't want to see him.
In order for him to get the Frampton, Quigg, Lomachenko type fights, I think Al Heyman is his best option. Because what can Jay-Z offer him that Al Heyman can't?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't think he can offer him much. You got fights. You got them on prime time. You got a lot more money. You got. I just think it's a better deal.
So sign him up and go to and pay his promoters whatever they're owed and get rid of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Shane Mosley has called out Kell Brook or Juan Manuel Marquez. Mosley took to Twitter to call out Marquez, stating he will pay him $2 million for a fight.
I think Juan's going to have to be offered more than that. Because he made more than that with Pacquiao.
Yeah.
And Mayweather.
Yeah.
So, Shane, I don't think $2 million is going to cut it. You're going to have to write a bigger check.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to cut it for Brooke either.
I know. Brooke, look, the only way Brooke is ever going to fight a guy like Shane Mosley is if Shane Mosley is willing to go to the UK.
And I got to be honest, man, he did not look great against Ricardo Mayorga.
No.
I mean, he looked very, very slow in that fight.
Well, the only reason
his movement
why
was very compromised in that fight. He didn't move around much. And again, he's 40-some years old, and he looks in great shape for 40-some years old, but he's 40-some years old.
Yeah, the only reason why I would be interested in him fighting Juan Manuel Marquez, they're around the same age. Mosley's 43, and Marquez has got to be around there. So
Marquez has got a bad knee. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah,
He's got a bad knee. They talked about him coming out to fight, but for what? You know, he's compromised. His movement's going to be compromised. Why do you want to fight him? You know,
it's kind of like Miguel Cotto and Sergio Martinez.
Right.
You know? So, same deal.
Yeah, and I again, man, I don't want to see Shane Mosley fight again. He looked awful in that fight, to be honest with you.
Like I said, we don't need a senior citizen tour for boxing. So once you hit a certain age, it's time to put up the gloves.
Right, right. And then also, too, Ricardo Mayorga says that he wants one more fight at home, and then he's going to go ahead and retire. For what? I mean, what do you want to fight again for? You just... You didn't want to be in there, you know. You didn't want to be in there the other day, you know. I mean, it was pretty clear you had the best seat in the house. You didn't show up, you know. You didn't want to be there. What do you want to fight again for? What are you doing, you know? These guys kill me.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Floyd Mayweather held an open sparring session last week. This is something he's never done before, and as you said, it was televised on Showtime, and I caught it on YouTube.
And it'll also probably be part of the because they had the first episode of All Access on Friday, and this Friday they'll have the second episode of All Access. So it might be part of either the second or third episode. So
yeah, it was about a 25 minute sparring session, I guess.
Yeah,
and he looked good. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, he looked really good. The first I would say the first few minutes of that sparring match. That guy was really looked like he got the better of him. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know who his sparring partner was, but he really got the better of him. And
right.
then Mayweather, you could tell, was just kind of toying with him, and then he started to work. And then he just, you know, he was just too quick.
Yeah. And yeah, I heard that he fought two different guys and without breaks. So
yeah.
Because I didn't watch it. I didn't realize it was going to be televised. So.
You know, but again, I don't know who the sparring partners were. I don't know if they were, you know. Who knows what kind of level fighters they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't superstar fighters. They weren't really, you know, so who knows.
Yeah.
But what do you make of this? I mean, the fact that, you know, he's televising this, and he's never done this. He's never allowed cameras in there for training sessions. They have to shut them off.
Yeah. I am convinced, and maybe I'm an idiot for thinking so, but I'm convinced he's fighting in May. This is not his last fight.
Yeah,
he can say it's the last fight, but until there's some proof that, you know, I don't know how boxers prove that they're retired, but until we have definitive proof, the only way I'll ever be convinced that he's not fighting is when Cinco de Mayo rolls around in 2016 and there's not a Floyd Mayweather fight scheduled.
Right, right. You know, and I think I tell you, you know, the other thing too. Mayweather's towel boy, Leonard Ellerbe, came out and said, he says, well, you know, I wouldn't advise Mayweather to fight again. Yeah, sure you wouldn't, because you hate money, right?
And he's
got Mayweather's best interest.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, keep this in mind. The MGM Grand, the arena that currently holds the 16,800, they're replacing that arena. They're opening up a brand new one in May that holds 20,000.
Yeah.
And they've already reserved May 7th, which is Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Right.
That's the Saturday next year. They've already reserved that to be Mayweather's date. So you tell me if Floyd Mayweather is retiring.
Right. And everybody who thinks he's retiring, you guys are idiots, because that's not going to happen. You don't think he's going to go 49-0 and not want to break the record? Come on.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to break the record.
And he's got the incentive. They're opening up a brand new arena. Now, you know how his ego goes. He wants to be the first. He wants to be the first event in that new place. Give
right.
me a break.
Yeah. I mean, any other thing, I mean, like I said, man, and the other thing I heard that was very interesting, I heard ticket sales for this are not exactly in the tank, but they're not exactly selling like hotcakes either.
Well, Showtime is holding a contest. Remember the commercials during Showbox? They're holding a contest to fly somebody out there, you know.
They better fly a whole bunch of people out there.
I don't know.
There was last time I looked on Ticketmaster, there was quite a few left. There was quite a few left. It wasn't – and then you think about that, and I think about what Triple G and David Lemieux were doing in New York – Man,
no, I haven't got an updated total on that. I don't know.
They're going to sell out.
Yeah. I'm convinced that the Garden is going to be as full as it's ever been, but, you know.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Last I heard, it was over 15,000. I don't have an updated total, and I know the arena holds over 20, so that's
yeah,
all I know.
I think it's going to definitely sell out because it jumped from like 11,000 to 15 in like no time flat. So, yeah,
right.
It's definitely shooting for a sellout, man. And I think it's going to do very well, a good buy rate as well.
Yes.
You know.
It's not going to do 4.4, although I wish it would. I want it to do extremely well because I want that to be a negotiating ploy, because you know the winner of Cotto Canelo is going to use the lack of pay-per-view numbers that he brings not to fight him. So, see, we as boxing fans, we're in control of this. We can make his pay-per-view numbers to be outstanding, and that takes away a negotiating point for whoever wins the Canelo-Cotto fight, because they can't say, oh, well, he doesn't sell pay-per-view.
He doesn't draw the numbers. Yeah, he doesn't draw the numbers. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we're actually in control of this.
But you know that the Cotto fight, the Cotto-Canelo fight, is going to do better numbers than Lemieux.
Oh, of course. Of course it will.
Right.
Of course it will. Because it deserves to do better numbers.
Yeah.
You know, they're bigger names. They've been around longer. They've fought people, you know. And again, that sounds like a criticism of Golovkin, but it's not.
No. I mean, it's just it is what it is. I mean, these two have been around forever. They're established stars. Golovkin is coming up, you know.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. No, so, look, as I've stated before, October and November are months you actually want to spend your money.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be real interested to see the buy rate on this fight right here with the Mosley Mayorga, and we'll have that for you next week. I'll also be interested to see the buy rate after it happens with the Mayweather fight, because everybody seems to be disappointed with this.
I know, but I have a feeling that Floyd will probably do one of his worst numbers, but that won't affect him in the least, you know?
No, not at all. No, yeah.
Because remember, the Guerrero fight didn't even do 500,000, and Showtime was having a fit because that was the first fight under the contract. Remember that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess Floyd started with a dud, and he's going to go out with a dud.
I'd be furious if I was Showtime, man. I'd be furious that he put this fight on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That this is the guy he chose. I would be just furious.
Well, Kareem Mayfield would have been even worse.
They're both bad.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some, I mean, you know, I see the, I guess the articles and stuff that, you know, the interviews Andre Berto's given, and, you know, obviously he believes he has a chance to win. He has no chance to win this fight. The only chance he has to win this fight is if Mayweather trips on his way to the ring and breaks his leg. That's it. That's his only way he's going to win this fight. He's not winning this fight.
And another thing that has changed with this pay-per-view compared to any others that has been done, it's not starting at 9. It's starting at 8.
Yeah. Which I don't understand either.
You know? And you know how they have the countdown show at like 7?
Yeah.
They're actually putting on an Ishae Smith fight between 7 and 8. I mean, you talk about wanting to draw people in to buy it.
Yeah.
Ishae Smith is the wrong person to be doing that with.
Well, wait a minute. So there's only going to be 3 fights on the actual card?
No, there'll be 4. But Ishae Smith is going to fight on the countdown show before the actual card starts.
Well, who's going to be on the card then that you're paying for?
It's going to be Mayweather Berto,
right.
Badu Jack, George Groves,
Orlando Salido and...
Orlando Salido and Rocky Martinez and Johnny Gonzalez.
Johnny Gonzalez, that's who it was.
Yeah.
That's who the fourth fight was, Johnny Gonzalez. Okay, gotcha.
But actually, before the pay-per-view part starts on Showtime, they're going to put an Ishae Smith fight on. So how excited are you if you're going to draw in the ratings, you want people to spend their money at the last minute, Ishae Smith is the wrong person to use for that?
Yeah, they should have put, like, an exciting fighter on there or something. But, you know, that's a good – I mean, they're doing everything right. They're doing everything to pull out the stops to try to sell this fight, and that's what they should be doing. They're promoters, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a good move, putting the fight on before the fight, because it's the Ishae Smith fight. Well, the other thing, too, is the Ishae Smith fight could be boring, so they could talk about the fight, you know, coming up, Floyd Mayweather, that's exactly what they're doing.
You know?
Watch him go after history, coming up, you know, later in the program, on pay-per-view, you know.
Yeah, and during the whole hour, they're going to, now, if you want to see Floyd Mayweather, you know, call your pay-per-view, you know.
It's right.
Like, you know. And I can guarantee you we won't have any delays because too many people are trying to buy the main event. Remember that with Pacquiao Mayweather?
Right.
They had to delay the fight a half an hour because the cable providers and satellite people, well, we have too many people trying to order. You can't start it yet, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'll be real interested to see the buy rates, though, because I don't think they're going to be good. And I don't think he cares either way, but, you know, Showtime will.
And, you know, when I heard that Al Heyman was putting on an NBC card that day, I thought at first, oh, my God, he's really going to stick it to Floyd because he's going to put it on primetime. And I found out, oh, no, that's an afternoon card.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and all through that, they're going to be promoting that fight also.
Yeah, and that's the Peter Quillen card on the 12th.
Right, and so all through that fight, they're going to be hyping that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got fights all day leading into that pay-per-view, which is really smart, man. And I think they'll get a lot of buys that day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out, man.
Right.
Because it may be one of those things when you come down, you're like, screw it, I'll just watch it, you know.
Well, knowing me, that's probably what I'll end up doing. You know, it's like, oh, my God.
Me too,
You know, I'm going to have to talk about it the next day, too, so it's like, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. So.
Right.
And as I stated earlier, and we need to put this in news and rumors, Al Heyman has told various representatives the winner of Santa Cruz Morris, which was Santa Cruz, now has to step up to the plate and fight Gary Russell Jr.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. That'll be really good.
And that is supposed to take place, from what I understand, in November or December.
Yeah, we got to get Gary Russell on here. We had his dad on here last time, so I'd love to get Gary Russell on here for an interview. That would be
he'd be a good interview.
Good guy, man. He's very
good. I think that's all we got to cover this week.
Yeah, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter at Ringside Robert. I'm at Ringside73, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.